Coming up on this episode of We're No Damn Experts, we're talking about a great place to see all kinds of birds and wildlife, and it's just north of Great Falls. We're talking with an expert about the best time of year. Hint, it's coming up soon to be there. Plus, I get to coin a new term. That's coming up.
Best damn podcast, the best damn town. You want to get up, get ready to get down.
Welcome to the greatest damn town in Montana, Great Falls. I'm Rebecca Ingham.
I'm Shannon Newth.
And we're no damn experts. Shannon, I felt like that Sweaty Balls skit from SNL.
From SNL, yeah.
Just that intro was like the NPR thing. So I'll liven it up next time, folks. I recognize that.
It feels like it's been a while. We go in spurts with recording. That's on me, but
yeah. But it works out for our schedule.
It does work out. So it's been a while. Knocking the rust off.
So, Shannon.
Yeah.
Tell me what's happening today. There's this random man in our podcast studio. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not random. For us, it's random.
Yes. Well, not for me. Mostly for you.
Yeah.
I've been chatting with him already. So anyway, we have Bob Johnson from Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge here. And you're the refuge manager?
Yes.
Is that the correct title
right.
for you?
Ooh.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Which
we're glad to
not
have you.
Not a big deal.
It sounds like a big deal.
Oh, you have manager in your title.
Yeah, that means you do something. A lot of administrative nonsense.
This is federal. This is federal stuff.
Right.
So there's...
See, that makes you a big deal to your federal manager.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like the federal government.
That's true. You're like, don't say that too loudly.
Try to keep that, you know, on the hush-hush.
Now, what kind of wildlife do you have out of Benton Lake?
It was established as a refuge and breeding ground for birds in 1929.
Oh,
holy moly.
It was withdrawn from the public domain by executive order from President Hoover.
Who?
Oh,
it's 13,000 plus acres. In 1950, they bought a piece of ground over by Power, and they put a pump house on there. So we pump water from Muddy Creek, which is Greenfields Irrigation District return flows.
Huh.
Which is incredibly expensive. And
wait. So it's not like a natural marsh?
It's a marsh, and it's not a lake. I don't know why it was ever named a lake. It's a seasonal marsh. It's 6,000 acres, and it depends on runoff.
Maybe a lake sounds more appealing than marsh, maybe?
Well, we've had people show up with their boats wanting to go walleye fishing, but that's a little problematic since there's no fish in there.
Right.
And not really a clear spot to put an actual boat.
No.
Okay,
no.
So all that, well... So there's
so don't
some
go
water
fishing
there
first
because it's
we
marsh,
have good runoff.
But you
it's
pump
about,
in.
You need 11,000 acre feet of water to fill the place up.
Okay, that's
and
a lot of water.
Yeah, we don't usually get that much runoff. Last year we had virtually none. This year there isn't going to be any.
Yeah.
Unless we get some major snows, and for us to pump, it costs us about $66 to pump an acre foot of water.
Holy.
Wow.
So, and we don't have that kind of money. We used to have an appropriation that we get specifically for pumping. Now we have to take it out of our base budget, which is really difficult.
Whew. So maybe this is diving in a little too soon. I don't know why.
So you don't want to get too intimate right
like,
away.
I don't know. So there's the marsh. So there's usually some type of moisture there.
Yeah, usually.
What? How does it affect the wildlife refuge to if you just...
Don't
say we run out of money, we can't pump the water.
Well, if there's no water, then you haven't got any breeding waterfowl, shorebirds. And that's what people come to see.
I mean,
the people call me since Monday to come see the swans. There's probably 500, 1,000 tundra swans out there right now.
Oh.
And ducks and geese that are migrating and shorebirds. And we have a huge population of eared grebes. They get their little babies that ride on their back. Really cool. People love that stuff.
Cute.
And they come out and watch that. But the evaporation rate up there is 44 inches a year, and the annual precip's 13.
It'll dry out by
late August if you don't pump. So
Bob, I'm going to back us up just a little bit.
Good idea.
Tell us about you. Are you a Great Falls guy? How long you been into birds? How long you been out at the Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge?
A federal employee.
The fun stuff. Your social security number?
Yeah.
You don't have to actually give that.
Yeah. Well, I'm a New England Yankee by birth.
Oh. I think you're the first one.
Really?
For us.
I went to school at UMass, got a bachelor's. I went to Michigan Tech and got a master's. Then I got a job at the regional office in Minneapolis. Then I went to North Dakota. Then I came here in 1991.
Regional office of what?
Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay.
Man, you've just gradually progressed west.
Well, yeah. You
westward ho.
You know what they say. I wasn't born here, but I got here as quick as I could.
Yeah. So.
And now that you say that, I can like tiny bit here.
Eastern accent.
Yep, yep.
And I was also told once by a speech pathologist, there are no accents. There are just simply
dialects?
Substandard regional dialects.
Substandard.
Substandard regional
dialects.
So is
she saying yours is substandard?
Yeah, that's what she told me.
Okay.
I've gone to the doctor a number of times and been told, oh, that's normal. I'm like, it can't be normal if I've just gotten it. Like, nobody else does this, right?
Exactly.
They're like, no, that's normal.
Everything you've done before has been abnormal.
I guess.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden I have a new infliction, I don't like being told, oh, that's normal.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be. I wasn't doing it for the 20 years beforehand.
Yeah. Anyway.
So you've been in the Great Falls at Benton Lake since 91.
Wow.
That's a long time, Bob.
Don't care to go anywhere else.
Were you always drawn to birds or wildlife, or were you just drawn to not being around people?
Or both. You can say both.
I had a grandfather who was a rabid hunter.
Okay.
And my dad wasn't, but I spent a lot of time with Grandpa. And Grandpa was, and back in Massachusetts in the 50s and 60s, there weren't a lot of deer. But Grandpa would go out and he'd find a spot and he'd sit there all day and he'd smoke a cigar and he'd light a fire and he'd shoot some big whitetail buck every single year. And all his grandsons would be running around all over the place and never see a damn thing. And then you'd hear Grandpa shoot and we'd all go over there and help Grandpa. And he'd keep telling us, this is how you got to do it. And we never listened.
Of course not. Yeah.
We just never listened.
Yeah.
So as you grow older, now I can do that. I can sit all day. But I've kind of reached the point where, you know, I go elk hunting and I really don't care if I shoot an elk anymore. It's just kind of gotten to that point where
experience.
I just have to be out there.
Yeah.
I know fellas like that.
It's funny how you change when you're a kid. If you don't get your limit, there's something wrong with you. And as you get a little older, I'll shoot a few. And then as you get even older, it's like, I don't really care. Right. I just like being out there.
Just like being outside.
I've hunted with the same guys out here since I got here. And we go to deer camp every year. And we drink a lot of good beer. We eat a lot of good food. And we just kind of hang out in the woods, smoke some good cigars, and have a good time.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
It does sound fun.
So with your job, because you do work for the government, you do a lot of administrative stuff. Do you actually get to be outside that much anymore?
Not as much as I'd like to.
Yeah.
It's the administrative burden in the federal government is absurd.
Mm.
And we do more silly nonsense than you can possibly believe. You just sit there and scratch your head half the time.
Yeah.
Why do we do that?
Yeah.
But we do.
That's what we do.
There's really no way around it.
Is your office at Benton Lake,
yes,
at least? Okay.
Yeah.
So you can wander out there.
We used to have an office that was full of people, and a lot of those people have gone away.
Okay. Was that a COVID thing or just
overtime? No, they just budget reductions. People have been cut, and some people work full-time from home. They work remotely all the time, so we have a lot of empty offices now.
Gotcha.
Which is unfortunate, but that's just kind of the way it goes. And our budgets just keep going down and down and down.
Mm-hmm.
And costs keep going up and up and up, so you get that gap is getting bigger.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about the refuge itself. Mm-hmm. What are the hours? I've been told you do not go out there at night.
No.
not just you. It applies to everybody.
Yeah, like it wasn't just. So, folks, before we went on the air, I shared that I was explicitly told that you do not go out to Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge after dark. And I'm like, you don't want me going?
And I was trying to clarify, is that just a Rebecca rule?
And she's like, no, nobody is allowed to go out there. There's a gate, I guess, that goes.
No, we don't close any gates. There's no gates.
So honor system, don't go out there.
It's open from an hour before sunrise to a half hour after sunset.
Okay.
Does something bad happen when the sun goes down?
Well, it's marshy. You're going to fall in somewhere.
No.
Bob's like, shush,
that's not the problem.
There's bad stuff that goes on out there sometimes. We've got an LEO who's a really super guy. And if you're out there at night, we will know you're there and you will get a visit from him.
Ooh,
that sounds scary.
So he's not there every time, but
we
have cameras and stuff in certain places. So he knows if you've been on there.
Okay.
So what's the experience out there? We've talked a lot about birds, breeding ground, which means mating, which means there's only some time of the year where they're mating. But what do people do seasonally, year round? What's the attraction?
They're just coming out to look at wildlife, basically. And we have grizzly bears on there, and we've had them running around by the office.
Ooh.
I mean, they every now and then an elk will come running through there or moose. I mean, there's lots of white-tailed deer on there.
We've got a
few mule deer. Lots of shorebirds, lots of waterfowl, lots of passerines, little guys. So, go ahead.
I was just going to clarify real quick. Where is Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge in comparison to Great Falls?
You just go straight north on Bootlegger Trail, takes you right to it. Okay. It's about 8 miles north of town.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify for people where we were talking about, because when we start talking about, you know, there's bears and elk and all of that, you know, it is pretty close to town.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just kind of right up over the hill.
Yeah. It's nature.
Mm-hmm.
So when people go out there, you talked about this massive amount of acres, but are you allowed to just wander all the acres?
No, there's an 8 mile auto tour. It's a closed loop.
Oh, okay.
But believe it or not, one elderly lady once managed to get lost and panic stricken on the 8 mile closed loop.
She couldn't
find her way back, which I have still yet to figure out.
Since it's a loop that goes by the parking lot.
Woman who got stuck in Lead and Deadwood, South Dakota, I feel for her.
Well, yeah,
because my friends are like, "How did you do that?"
It's a big circle. At some point, you're gonna figure out how to get back. It's like,
you just keep following the loop.
There's no other way to go.
So there's an eight-mile going back and forth.
An 8 mile auto loop.
It's pretty hard to get screwed up, but she did.
Loop meaning you'll come back to the same spot eventually.
Okay. Bob, I'm coming out and I'm doing it. I'm going to see if I get stuck.
I guarantee you won't. Just
he's going to see you out there.
Like,
no,
just go around. Not two thirds of it. Part of the refuge is open for hunting, upland birds and waterfowl. Yeah. Hunting is one of the priority uses of the National Wildlife Refuge System, believe it or not.
I had no idea. I did not think you could hunt or do anything of that sort out there.
Priority use.
Okay.
There's, as a separate note, just out past Giant Springs along River's Edge Trail, as you're heading out towards kind of the Cochrane Dam, there's bird hunting out there, and it's like right in town.
It's like a little startling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little surprising.
Well, if you go down the hill towards the interpretive center, guys will hunt ducks down there. And our LEO guy works a lot down there because people don't have a means of retrieval. So you're dumping ducks and they're floating away in the river, and it's like, can't do that.
Yeah.
So, that's I live fairly close to there, and fall mornings, I'm out raking leaves, and it sounds like World War III down there.
Okay. I've heard that. I've not been there in person.
That's a good thing to know if you're, meandering along the River's Edge Trail during that time of year.
Be advised. You might have a goose fall on your head. Yeah. It could be.
Wear your bright colors.
You're right. Wear your bright colors.
Bob, before we get back, what's LEO?
Mm-hmm. Law Enforcement Officer.
Oh. That's a good thing.
And we have, our guy's one of the best. He's an ex-Marine, and he is really, really good.
Yeah, you don't mess with those guys. Is that the guy who comes out at night and talks to you?
Yeah, okay. He's a super-duper guy. Best one I've ever worked with.
Go out there and see the night sky.
Well, I might be. I'm going to talk to Bob more about this after, but we're arranging for me to go out there, which would involve me being there before the light comes up.
To go in the grouse house.
I would be allowed.
Yeah, I'll meet you guys.
He's not going to come after me at night.
No.
Yeah. I'm excited about the grouse house.
Yes. Go ahead.
I got to finish my question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So beyond the 8 mile auto loop, what else do people do out there?
They can ride their horses. If you stay on the auto tour.
Okay.
They'll ride bicycles.
Okay.
There's this one lady that comes out with her sled dogs. She doesn't have a sled. She just hauls butt rocket with her dogs. I watched her one day. It's like, that woman's in really good shape.
We do have some like Iditarod level.
Well, this lady's been out there. She brings her dogs and just goes zooming around the auto tour, which is fine.
That's a 8 mile loop. Seems good.
The building looks like it is got some interpretive.
There's a little visitor center inside. We have one of the previous refuge managers had this thing called a touch table, where there's hides and feet and skulls.
Yeah.
And it's the only place that kids can come and touch stuff. Most of the time when you're with your kid and they touch something, don't do that.
Don't touch it.
No, we don't do that. We promote that kind of stuff. We have grizzly bear feet and wolf hides and antlers and all that kind of stuff.
That's a place my husband would like to take me because everywhere we're in, besides a museum. I get a museum. I don't touch things there. But everywhere else, I'm always like, he's like, she can't not touch. She can't not touch. So I'm going to be like, we're going to go here.
Come out there and
touch everything.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Perfect. When you go shopping, do you touch every shirt?
Oh, yeah. I got it, the texture of the thing. And he's like,
stop
touching.
Can't
not touch. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with me touching this. I need to feel it.
There's no sign.
Yeah.
In addition to...
You guys would be a blast to go shopping with.
Yeah, you're going to do it once, and then you're going to end up with our husbands.
Pick up the shirt or pick up the sock, and I go home.
We get to the blankets and pillow section.
Oh, does this feel good? What do the sheets feel like?
I just never kind of got there. Yeah,
you got to take the time, Bob.
Yeah, enjoy life.
Blanket's a blanket. It's like, whatever.
No, it's not.
I've also seen... And I don't know if it's part of the auto tour or not, but a pier that walks
out. The boardwalk, yes.
So how long's the boardwalk?
Image I have in my brain. Is that part of the loop?
Well, I had no idea.
It runs off the loop. It's a quarter mile, and it's a national recreation trail, official national recreation trail.
Okay.
A quarter mile.
So you got a piece of paper right there framed and everything?
Gail Norton was the Secretary of the Interior and signed all that. It's like, whoop-de-doo.
So that's different from the loop.
Right. It's you can
the
park.
The loop doesn't have any special...
No, the loop is just an auto tour.
Yeah, no piece of paper there.
No,
no ribbon cutting that happened with that one.
We built a very expensive boardwalk, which is now falling apart, and we're going to rebuild it. So
it's a beautiful piece.
All your extra money.
It's construction money. I won't tell you how much that's going to cost because you'll probably have a stroke.
Yeah. Well, no, we got quotes for building three walls down in the basement
of this building.
I have some general idea of how of a sticker shock a.
Oh, it's
very
mind-boggling.
Long boardwalk. Yum. So do you take donations up at the visitor center after people touch? They can drop $50 in the...
Believe it or not, you can't donate to the... Just donate to the federal government. You have to have some mechanism of doing it. We've had rich people...
I donate to the government every year, yeah.
Well yeah, but you have
don't.
To. It's not voluntary.
That's true. Donation.
Yeah, we all do that.
That's true.
We had a guy once, a very rich dude wanted to give us a whole bunch of money, and there was really no way to do that.
That seems
under
odd.
The table.
Yeah. That's... Well,
found this cash pile. We found this bucket of cash.
Yeah. Whoops. Mm. I was on the loop. Send that lady to find it. Give her. Yeah.
You can find weird stuff on the loop sometimes. We had a tragedy once where we tell people you have to keep your dogs on a leash.
And I was going to ask if you can take a dog.
Yes, as long as on the leash. And this elderly couple came out with their little foo-foo dog, and the little foo-foo dog jumped out of the truck and disappeared and was never seen again.
Oh, no.
They had a little blankie they brought out, and we never saw the damn dog again.
I do have to tell you, Bob, it's a little bit related to this, but we went and got 5 trees for our house in Missoula. And the guy who was growing the trees had this big yard, and just as a hobby, he grew trees and sold them. Our yellow lab was in the pickup, and we're like, oh, just calm down. And he is freaking out because he's seeing trees, he's seeing mountains, and it's a Labrador, so he just loves water. Well, we don't see any water. And the guy's like, no, you can let your dog out. It's fine. So we open up the door, and he flies out. And within seconds, he's back at our feet, soaking wet. And I looked at him, and I looked at my husband, and I looked at the tree guy, and I'm like, where did he find water? And he goes, oh, we've got a huge koi pond in the backyard.
Oh, no.
I'm like...
Oh, dear. Did he kill a bunch of koi?
He didn't. That's good. Just jumped in the water. I'm like, well, my dog played with your koi fish. So he goes, well, that's fine. And I'm like, it's not fine. Oh, I got this wet dog.
It's a yellow. Yeah. It's lab. I've had many yellow labs. The first one I had spoiled me. That dog was on a complete another level. That dog was beyond smart. There was something. That dog was freaky smart.
Not a normal lab.
And he also had some sort of genetic anomaly where he never got cold. He could stand in ice water and hunt ducks all day and even shiver.
Oh, wow.
I've never had a dog like that before. I mean, literally, he'd be caked in ice and he never even shivered.
Wow.
And he was super, super smart. I mean, way too smart to be a field trial dog. He would have done terrible at field trials because he did everything that made way more sense, and you got to go here and you got to go there. He just did all that kind of crap.
His instinct.
He was mind-boggling, and he hated little kids, which was very rare for a lab. You couldn't let him. He was dangerous around kids. For some reason, he half the time he didn't like me, but that's another story.
You guys got along well.
But we got that dog could hunt. He just
That is weird for a lab, though.
He was, when he was 6 months old, we were sandhill crane hunting in North Dakota, and we wing-tipped one, and he flew over the hill. And now this dog had never seen a crane before. He's 6 months old. He's not that big. So the crane, they get up, they get big, and they hold out.
Yeah.
That damn dog went over the hill and tackled that crane like a linebacker and killed it like that.
Oh, no fear at all.
I'm
going. Oh, my gosh.
Most dogs are a little like,
Especially not him.
Not him. He just went boom. It's like, oh, well, this is quite interesting.
Wow.
That dog was afraid of nothing.
Yeah.
He was something else. He
was super. What was his name?
Bud.
Bud.
Good name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first time I saw a sandhill crane, I was like, that is a monstrosity of an animal.
They nest out at the refuge. You can come out and see the little guy sometimes, which are called colts. Baby cranes are called colts.
Colts?
Colts.
Like a horse.
Yeah. How they ever got that name, I don't know.
That's weird.
The animal world.
My husband had a yellow lab. He's since passed since him and I've gotten married. His name was Hunter. He was a terrible hunter from what I've heard. He tried to train him sort of to come along hunting with him. Hunter would swim up to a bird and just be like, oh, there it is. And then swim back, like not actually get it. But that
not
dog,
a good trait.
No, that dog's favorite thing about hunting was sharing trail mix in the blind with my husband. That was about all he was good for. As a hunting dog.
Well, Bud was just, he was on another level. And the second lab I had, his name was Cody. He was like a hippie. He'd stay in a boat with you and he'd kind of lay there. And if things got slow, he'd jump out of the boat and go a little walkabout. Pretty soon you'd see him taking a nap on a rat house over there.
Sounds like Hunter.
And then you'd shoot a couple of ducks and he'd look at you like, do I have to? And he'd come wandering over and he'd go retrieve him and bring him back. Then he'd get in the canoe and then he'd go lay down again. It's like
how
eh.
are those dogs the same
I don't
breed?
Know. Yeah. But they're completely different. It was that was my hippie dog.
I like his style.
I think Cody
would be more my style.
and then with my ex-wife, when I was around, he ignored her in the house. He wouldn't have anything to do with her. But she always told me when I wasn't there, he'd never leave her side. And one night, he was in the backyard, and it was getting – he was a really easygoing dog, and it was just getting – dusk, dark, and where he couldn't see. And I walked in the yard, and he didn't see me.
Oh.
And he turned around, and I never heard that dog growl like he did, and the hair stood up on his back. It's like, I'm thinking, if somebody had tried to do something to Kimmy, that dog would have taken him on.
That's good to know.
He was, I had never seen him do that before.
This is the hippie?
Hippie dog. Yeah. Hippie dog
well,
that has
he's
some
in
good...
action when he needs to be, I
he
guess.
Was. He really was.
Oh. Good dog. So you can go take your dogs on that
keep
loop
on a leash.
Out there.
Of course, when it's open for hunting, they don't have to be on a leash in the hunt area.
Yeah.
So use them for ducks or partridge.
Is there a different space just for hunting?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And is that got a sign or something?
Yeah, you can get a map. Shows you where to go.
That's good.
So you don't get confused.
It's not part of the loop.
No, it's just separate from the loop.
I'm just going to stick to the loop. That's
my lesson.
Yeah,
the loop's easy. The loop's easy. Not a problem.
Bob, you're a manager out there, so I think you can just make things happen. I think there's some unique opportunities to do some night sky viewing out at Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge. But if you can't be there after dark...
Plus, we got a lot of lights.
Oh,
which there's a. It's. They just put a
well,
bunch.
I've never
of,
been out there at night. Obviously,
well, yes. Yeah, so
there's a
allowed.
Light on the office which shines on the flag, which is not up there now because the flag system has a rope deal that freezes in the ground and you can't get the damn flag up and down in the winter.
Yeah.
And then there's another light for the parking lot. So it really, if they weren't there, it'd be pretty good. Then we just put some lights on the shops. There's a lot of light over there.
It's too much light.
It's yeah. It's not. It's not the best.
That's a good idea.
It was until
we put up all the lights. If there were no lights, it'd be pretty cool.
Lights are helpful, though, like in the winter.
Yeah, you know.
And to avoid the marsh.
Yeah, drive off the edge of the road into the water.
It's well marked, you said, Bob.
Yeah.
You said it was well marked.
It was upside down cars and bodies all over the place.
Yeah, when you see that, you know you've reached it.
Don't go there.
How many different species of birds are out there?
I brought some bird pamphlet. I think they've recorded like 250 on the refuge.
Oh, wow.
Now that you don't see those
that's a lot
constantly
of different...
all the time. I mean, that stuff, some of them are pretty damn rare, but there's quite a few.
That's a lot of species.
That is a lot. Is it a combination of migratory and residential birds? I don't know. What non-migratory?
Non-migratory. Yeah. The non-migratory
bird.
Is non-migratory the technical opposite term?
Yeah, you got like sharptails and pheasants and Hungarian partridge and magpies and that kind of stuff that hang around all the time. And they've got all the little passerines and stuff that migrate through, and waterfowl. There's no waterfowl in the winter. I mean, some of them hang around on the river in town because it's open water, but we don't have any open water in the winter. So it's pretty quiet out there.
So back on episode 162 of the podcast, we talked with Brent Lawner from FWP at Freeze Out.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about the difference between bird migration at Freeze Out and what's happening at Benton Lake?
Freeze Out.
Because you need to be an expert in both now.
Well, no, Freeze Out gets...
I imagine he has an idea.
Freeze Out gets a lot more snow geese than we do. Okay. And I, you know, Freeze Out's kind of at the base of the Rockies, so those birds follow the mountains. But you'd think if a bird's flying at 4,000 or 5,000 feet, they can see Benton Lake.
Right.
But we don't get anywhere near the number of snow geese they
do. It's too far out of the way for them.
2,000 snow geese, it's a lot. Uh-huh. And they can get a couple hundred thousand sometimes. We don't get that.
I've always kind of wondered, because I'm like, really, it's not that far away from each other?
No, I mean, you can sit at Benton Lake and see the Rocky Mountain front.
Right.
You know, Freeze Out is right over there, but they just don't come out that far for whatever reason.
Lazy. Just kidding.
Who knows?
I was just going to say my stupid question, but I'm not going to.
Go for it.
There's no stupid question.
Oh, it's a little bit funny. So,
well, I'm not doing it.
No, go ahead.
So you've seen birds fly in a V.
Yeah.
And you've always seen one tail longer than the other in the V.
Well, it's because there's an odd number of birds.
That was my question. Why? Why is one line always longer than the other?
Well, the last bird in line just keeps moving back and forth because she or he can't figure out where the best drafting is.
Yeah.
So
that's true. I mean, you know, those birds, the lead bird is the one kicking it, and that's using up all the energy, and the other guy just draft off everybody. That's why they're flying a V.
Yeah.
Do they ever train? Or the one in the front just
gets beating?
The one in the front is the one with the map. Otherwise, they don't know where they're going.
That's true. Can't move out of there.
No. Yeah.
When I was in high school, my earth science teacher says to me, "You ever seen birds fly in a V?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've noticed." He goes, "You always notice one line's longer than the other?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You want to know why that is?" And I said, "Love to." And he goes, "Because there's more birds in that line than the other." And I'm like, oh, I'm just expecting
helpful.
Some
Thank
science.
You.
Where'd you go to school?
Good question.
Whitewater High School.
I want to meet that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He was also the one who tried to teach me about clouds, the different types of clouds.
Oh, okay.
And his rationale for me needing to learn this was, he's like, "You're going to be one day in your car driving somewhere, and your kid's going to look out the window and go, 'Mom, what kind of cloud is that?' And what will you say?" And I said, "My answer will be, ask your father, because clearly there will be one of those if I have children, and he needs to know those things."
Just tell him there's gray clouds and white clouds. That's
exactly.
All you got to know.
So.
Don't need to do any more than that.
So, Mr. Burgum, I do apologize. I never had children because of that. No,
that's
I'm joking.
That's where it was decided.
Like,
I don't want to learn about clouds, therefore no kids.
You know, I got through my earth science classes just fine. I was not a stellar student.
Well, clearly you remember things from it.
Yeah.
Maybe not what you were supposed to, but.
Couldn't tell you the difference between a cumulus and a cirrus cloud.
But you know the names. That's
I know
a
they
start.
Exist.
You could at least, if you had a kid, just say one of those.
Everyone who's listened to this podcast now knows I will just make up an answer and the kid will have to learn long term if it's true or not.
She does it. Yeah. Feel free to jump in, Bob, because she likes to just make claims
about things
and just
and
throw
things.
It out and see if anybody corrects her.
I got a doozy about Pompey's Pillar if you ever want to talk about that one day.
Down near
Billings. Not in our area.
No.
Did you sign that? Your name on there with Lewis and Clark? Louis?
She thought it was open for everybody.
Just get a hammer and chisel and put your name
like
in
like a bathroom
here.
Door. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The heart.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
So many visitors per year does Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge get?
Well, we estimate 10,000, but I don't know if that's right.
Oh.
We have to do a report.
Sounds like a Rebecca's fact.
We have to do a report every year. It's called a Refuge Annual Performance Plan, and you report all these silly little things. How many visitors did you have, and how many fishing visits or hunting visits? And it's a wild guess. I don't know.
So you're not asking every person who shows up.
We just guess.
Well, your fishing visitors should be zero. There's no fish.
Oh, believe it or not, some people come out there. We had a guy pull up a couple years ago with his boat. Getting ready to go walleye fishing. Where's the lake? Not here.
Yeah,
there isn't one.
You kind of missed it.
Do people try to kayak on it or paddleboard on it?
You can't. All the upper units are closed to any use of boats. You can use a boat in the hunt area if you're hunting waterfowl, okay, but the upper units you can't.
I don't think I want to go kayak out there when people are hunting. So
it is a marshland, Shannon. Marsh.
I know, but they add water. You just,
you know, and
it's not like it's deep. There's still weeds everywhere.
This is why I'm asking.
It's a lot
of
mud,
know,
though. You can get up to your knees in soupy, gooey mud.
Yum.
We go down by, where do we go? It's blanking on me, but down on the Missouri River, far, far from here, we go paddle fishing. Fred Robinson Bridge.
CMR. Never go off the road at CMR when it rains because you'll never get out of there.
Also, don't shoot prairie dogs down there. That's not allowed.
No, don't do that.
You get in trouble.
Bad idea. Yeah.
It's illegal.
Yeah, don't do that.
But the mud, that's where I was going with this, is impressive. Do you have the same kind of mud?
Not quite as bad. But, I've
lost a shoe. Just.
I could see that.
I think there's people that have lost hunting buddies over there.
Oof.
And I've heard stories about non-resident hunters that bring their fifth wheels and rented RVs and down there, and they can't get them out.
Yep.
So what do you do then if you're supposed to have it back next week and 6 months later it's still sitting there?
Yep, best of luck. This is where it's located.
You know, if it rains, don't go there. It's, you know, it's just that gumbo. It fills up the wheel wells. You can't get off your shovel. If you're dragging a deer or an elk, they get all covered with that crap.
And that means the road itself, too. Like, there's a climb out of, like, the Slippery Ann area as you get closer to the highway. That is a heck of a hill, and it's still just muddy gross.
Are there signs warning about this?
I don't think so.
No, you kind of learn by doing over there.
Yep. You'll only do it once.
Yeah. Well,
that's why there's
RVs stuck over there then.
You don't want to do it
once. We could start preventing this, but
it's not fun getting a lot of mud.
How far away is this again?
Oh.
Slippery Ann is about, you go to
200 miles?
You go to Lewistown, then you go to Eddie's Corner up there.
Because that's the spot you can hear the elk, too?
The elk haggling.
Yeah, that's the viewing areas right there.
Okay.
I mean, people come in buses, and they put up chairs. Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
They're not. You've never seen it?
I've never seen it in person.
I've
seen a video.
It is an impressive experience.
Is this mud situation an issue year round? Am I going to get stuck in mud watching the elk?
No, as long as it's not raining. I mean, the road to the viewing area is pretty good right there.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they bring out buses from Billings, and you get old folks sitting on launches. I mean, they're right there. It's not. People think it's a zoo, but it's not. It's big.
People think Yellowstone's
elk.
A zoo, so it's fine.
It's big bull elk. You know, beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
And elk running all over the place.
When is the best time to see that?
Mid-September when the elk rut
with
peaks.
The rut.
Yep.
Okay.
When they start to show off for the ladies.
Yeah, and the ladies are visibly annoyed. Makes sense.
Well, what really happens is the big bulls are over here fighting some little rinky-dink bull.
It's like, hey, pretty lady.
It's like, you know.
See, yeah, I mean.
The silly boys are over there seeing who's the biggest dude.
Learn some lessons from the elk here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they don't pay any attention to you. They're like dumb at this time.
And they're just right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Last year, our LEO was over there. They were patrolling, and they found a dead bull in there that they thought had been poached, but it wasn't. It was killed by another bull.
Oh, my gosh.
Big, big monster bull. Yeah, he got his
right in his chest.
Lungs, and that was the end of that.
Ooh.
So they do kill each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the intent.
Yeah, that's...
They're not friendly.
This is like the one situation, though, where we're telling people, like, yep, just sit up, camp out. They're not going to bother you. Like, any other time, don't mess with the wildlife.
No,
keep your distance.
It's a unique place.
This is a unique opportunity to do that. Yeah.
Just to sit there and watch, it's unreal.
So, you had mentioned earlier, we have talked a little bit, this grouse house.
Yes.
Tell us all about that and the experience with that. The lek, is that how you say it?
The lek. It's where sharptails, sage grouse, prairie chickens, they do their mating displays.
Wait, prairie chickens the official name?
Well, no, there are lesser prairie chickens in Kansas and Nebraska.
Okay.
It's a separate species.
Okay.
And they're sharp-tailed grouse. Sage grouse, the big, you know, bubble, bubble, the big sage grouse.
Yeah.
They display on these leks that are used for year after year. Some of them, I think, have been in use for hundreds of years.
Huh.
They never change. They're always there. We have four on the refuge. We just have the grouse house on one.
And wait, what's a lek?
It's where the males come to display and the females come. And then
When you're saying you have four, it's like this
four
place they've been coming
for
this
a long time.
Distinctive spot.
Yeah, and there's lots of leks around. I mean, you can go out in the boonies and find them. They're not that hard to find.
Okay.
So it's like the club for people?
Well, male sharp-tailed grouse are the ultimate nature's optimist. They hang out there all year.
Just waiting.
Waiting for the ladies.
And there's not much that goes on when ladies aren't there. But you watch all those boys will be sitting there. And it's like somebody throws a switch, and they all do the little dance, and they stop. It's like how the hell do they do that? It's synchronized. It's like nobody will do anything, and they all do something, and they stop.
It's like, night at the rock choreography.
It's bizarre to watch that. It's like who's the signal? I don't know. Weird.
It's out of our range of hearing, but there is some symbol somewhere.
Key.
Yeah.
So you can book the grouse house to see this. In this one specific area.
We do a drawing, which I will do next Monday.
Ooh.
It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from end of March to about middle of May when things pretty much slow down because all the hens are on nest by then. And we have, I think I'm up to like 80, and there's not that many, nowhere near that many slots.
Oh.
So everybody doesn't get in.
So how do you get your name
in
on
demand.
The list? Like you
just
call?
Send us an email with your name and...
No, Carol's done that. She was
well. That's what she
yeah,
said,
how
and
we
I
got
know
all connected.
Katie Katinsky, who's been on our podcast episode, she goes out there.
Yeah,
and I know because she sends us pictures. But
I will say, when Carol was talking about it, this was the like obviously I knew about Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge. I did not know about this opportunity. I did not know about the lek. I didn't know about the opportunity to rent the grouse house. Any of that. So I'm excited to learn more and. If you'll still allow me, I'm planning to go out there so we can get some footage, do a story about
we'll
that.
So, you can there's enough room in the house for like six or eight people. Okay. So you could bring your husband, your friend, whatever.
It'll probably just
I'd
be
come.
Me. Okay, great. I'll let you know when it's happening.
You got to be there an hour and a half before sunrise.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm an early riser, Bob.
Carol wants to come. She wanted to do a team activity. I'm not sure we'll get Callie on it, but.
I doubt she'll show up.
I'll take you guys out there.
Perfect.
Put you in it and leave you, and you can stay there as long as you want.
Perfect. Well,
you can figure
I'm
out your
get
way, own way home.
No, footage. It's,
you
get
just,
an
you
on,
park.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
Perfect.
You can't get lot wise.
We'll get an on camera interview with you so people can see your face.
Look at that.
We'll
if
talk
it's
well,
about
actually,
that
I'm
later.
In the witness protection program.
So
I can't
no,
do that.
Just so. Voice. Which has been
we told you this podcast goes worldwide, Bob.
Yeah, but they can't see me, so I'm all right.
There you go. Okay, so people book this.
Yes.
You arrive an hour and a half before sunrise, okay, which is, you know, anywhere depending on the year between 5 and 4 a.m.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. Okay, and what can you expect? What are we are we watching this choreography from sage grouse?
Yep.
Okay.
How many birds are we talking about?
What was
sharp
that? Sharp tail. Sorry.
Not sage.
Not sage.
How many?
Sharp tail.
There's about 35 males on there usually.
Holy moly.
Now, what are you hearing when this is happening?
You can hear rattles of feathers, but they've also got a vocalization that you can hear. It's
can you do an impression for
me?
Us?
No, not really. It would be really sad.
Questions.
Now sage grouse, they get that really boom, 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 and sharp tails are not like that. It's not quite that vocal, but you can still hear them. And you can hear them for a long ways off if it's a quiet morning.
So does it starts like right as the sun kind of comes up or what's their pattern?
They even if the girls show up, even when it's dark, they're ready to go.
Okay.
And the most fit males are in the center of the lek. So all the females try to get there because they want to breed with the most fit boys.
Well, obviously.
So
the hottest. The hottest dudes. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they decide who's who, but it's, it's beyond me. They all look the same to me.
I'm going to go with pheromones.
Yeah. It's
That's
a scent.
It.
A
That's
scent
all
thing.
Yeah.
They all know how to do the dance, how to do the nobody teaches them that.
Yeah.
The boys are born that way, so they're all there doing their thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
I'm
Instead
excited
of peacocking,
to see the dance.
We can call it sharp tailing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Best of luck getting that adopted. I'm just saying. Now we're going to have hashtag on all of our social media
sharp
posts.
Sharp tailing.
Sharp tailing.
You know what? That's what we'll name this episode.
Okay. Because the other one I want to get adopted is Lewis and Clarked It. I want a hashtag Lewis and Clarked It. So like, anytime you do
like
an adventure.
Float at the river?
Well, anytime you do something crazy. I Lewis and Clarked It. Hmm. Probably
that doesn't roll off
either.
The tongue as easy.
No.
It's sharp tailing.
Yeah, sharp Lewis and Clarked It. I don't think that's going to catch on. Maybe a
Bob,
t-shirt.
Bob, you don't even listen to podcasts.
Maybe a t-shirt, but I don't know about the podcast.
Yeah, a t-shirt. There you go.
Yeah, sell t-shirts. Lewis
I'll get
and
a
Clark
t-shirt.
That says, I Lewis and Clarked It.
Yep.
Whatever that means.
We'll do an education symposium. It'll catch on faster than your sharp tailing.
We'll see. My episode's going out tomorrow with the name on it. So. Okay, so this grouse, the house, I'm picturing like a shed with like a skinny window I peer out of.
There's,
is that accurate?
I think there's four windows that have a little, you can pull the windows down.
Oh.
And then there's 8 or 10 chairs in there. It's fairly roomy.
Okay.
So you can bring friends with you if you want. They want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Does it come with any, let's call it, hospitality services? Hot chocolate, coffee.
Bob, are you going to bring us some breakfast?
You're on your own. Sorry.
Are you allowed to bring things with you?
Sure.
Not feed it to the birds,
just
though?
Don't bring a shotgun and start shooting them. Yeah, we wouldn't like that.
I'm not going to do that.
No, if you want to have breakfast out there, feel free.
Okay.
Your LEO is going to show up and you're going to meet what a former Marine looks like with a shotgun. I'm just guessing. I don't know what actually happens.
How often do you see these? Is my breakfast going to bring the grizzlies in when I'm watching?
Ooh.
We haven't had grizzlies for a couple of years.
But they're they've been,
well,
this is
last
a whole other
year,
topic, but
the
they're
video
coming down
home.
Further.
I mean, they were running down side street and home. I mean, they're here.
Yeah.
Special agent told me they just captured one in Sims 2 days ago.
Oh.
Had to move them out of there, or her, as the case may be. So they're moving.
And I was telling Rebecca this, that the grizzlies were originally prairie animals.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah. See?
They were in North Dakota.
Yeah, they just got pushed as population. Yeah, now they're like, we're taking it back.
And they're going to show
up. And they're going to win.
They're going to show up, and they're going to end up in North Dakota. I mean, one of these years is going to be grizzlies in North Dakota. They're going to follow the river right through CMR, right to the border. And away you go. There was supposedly one in Jordan last year. Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
That would make sense to me. I've been to Jordan.
They can take it over easier.
If Sasquatch exists, he's in Jordan.
But
because there is
doesn't Sasquatch
a lot
like,
of
you know,
land.
But isn't it more open, barren land? Sasquatch likes a forest.
There's a lot of valleys and hills and not a lot of people.
Are you a believer in Sasquatch?
No.
Bigfoot?
Sorry. No.
Oh, it's okay. I don't have a preference.
She also doesn't believe
way.
In aliens, so.
No.
Ghosts.
That's not a big... It's a whole other conversation.
Sasquatch is a bunch of baloney as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all the people that have been in the woods all these years, nobody's ever found one.
Yeah,
give me
it
a
does.
Break.
Nope.
Just really, come on.
But how much could I pay you to dress up in
a Sasquatch
suit when we come to the grouse house?
Scare the hell out of people?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Then I'd probably get shot.
That's true.
Well, we've already said no shotguns in the grouse house.
Yeah. That doesn't mean somebody's not bringing it.
So they got a .45 in your purse, you know?
Yeah. No, this is what we should do is when we're there, figure out a way for Callie to come and prank Callie.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't want any like seizures or heart attacks or anything that requires medical intervention. That would go. I have to
that's
try to explain
true.
That, and they wouldn't like that.
Yeah, there's a section on his report that's going
to
say.
Are you ready to retire, Bob?
Shenanigans.
Sasquatch showed up. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, this episode's coming out Friday, as in tomorrow when we're recording at the 22nd of March. You said on Monday,
in
the 25th.
Monday's the drawing, so next Thursday will be the first day. And there's probably not
the first day
you can
out.
Use the grouse blind. There's probably not going to be any females there.
Okay.
They don't usually show up for another week or so.
Okay.
But there could be. I mean, but still, the boys are still there doing their thing.
Yeah.
So you can still see them.
So you just assign people to a time and or a day and
they
have to show
a day.
Up.
And you don't have to share with other people. If
just
you're drawn,
up.
You can bring 6 of your closest friends and stay out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah. So if I want to get in on that, I just have to email.
I'll call you.
You and, by Monday.
We won't put you in today. The drawing. We'll just bring you out.
Not me. But if somebody listening yes. to this.
Right. They just send an email to bentonlake@fws.gov okay. with their top 3 days between March 28th, May 15th, Thursday through Sunday.
Okay. There you go.
We finally were able to pull our rank in this community to get some type of benefit. It's taken us 100.
We don't have to go in the lottery.
And 70 some episodes to finally.
Well, we usually get there's a guy from Malmstrom brings a bunch of airmen out there every year.
Oh, nice.
Some new kids cool. that haven't seen that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's one of the schools in town. I can't remember which one. He brings a science class out.
Ooh,
so
that's a good idea.
We do that.
Mr.
And it used to be Paris Gibson would come, but they haven't called me in the last couple of years. Well, the kids come like to do that because it's a unique experience.
Yeah,
it is.
After this many years of seeing it and experiencing it, are you surprised by anything out there that you see on any given day?
Surprised.
Or anything different happen, or is it kind of the same?
Well, last year.
Same year in and year out.
And we have a lot of antelope to come and mm-hmm. go in the refuge. Antelope typically don't jump fences. For whatever reason, they like to crawl under fences. Well, there was this really nice buck antelope who was standing in the stubble field north of the refuge, and I was driving out the road, and he just came dinking down along there and jumped across that fence like a thoroughbred horse. Like it's like,
oh, holy
I think
moly.
That's the first time I've ever seen an antelope jump across the fence. Just whoosh, the way he went. So they can do
it.
He's
been watching the deer.
So I don't know why they just like to go under them for whatever. And you see them, they have these terrible scars on their back from barbed wire fences. They get all chewed up, and he just, pew,
maybe he's evolving. He learned that
I don't
jumping.
Know,
he's been
watching the
deer going, I wonder if I can do that. And that was the first time he did it.
He had no problem at all doing that. That was quite impressive.
Yeah.
So
he probably walked around like, hey, I jumped that fence over there.
But there was nobody to see him. He was all by himself, so he wasn't impressing anybody.
Well, that's why I'm thinking it might have been his first time. He wanted to test it out to make sure.
In front of his friends.
Yeah. Like, can I do this? Nobody's looking. I'm going to give it a shot.
I'm going to try it.
He did well. I wish I had a camera, but I didn't have one. Would have been perfect.
So we talked about, you know, people who don't understand the loop system or who, you know, don't keep their dogs on a leash, things like that. What other
rules?
Oddities have you seen from visitors or fun questions or experiences?
Ooh, number one question, Bob. What is
you
it?
Want an X-rated example? I can give you a really, well, I can keep
sure,
it fairly
not?
Clean.
this
Shannon was a number of years ago
go?
When I was
saying?
A collateral duty law enforcement officer, and the entrance road comes in a tease to go to the auto tour.
Okay.
And there was a car parked there at 11:30 in the morning. So I went out there, and there was a couple in the car, and you can imagine what they were doing, 11:30 in the morning. So I pulled my truck up. I mean, my bumper was touching their bumper, which didn't do anything.
Didn't faze them.
So I hit the siren I had. That didn't do anything either. They were pretty well engrossed. So finally, we got them all separated.
With deep conversations with each other.
Yes. Got them out of there and said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, you got a school bus full of kids come by here. It's 11:30 in the morning. Yeah. You're out on the auto tour. Oh, well, you know, whatever. And then to make it even more tragic, the guy that was there, he was a Forest Service pilot, and he was a firefighter, and he was killed in a plane crash 2 years later.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Oh.
Bob, that's like an awful story.
It's part of what you see.
What I feel like I need one of my sound effects.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here, hold on. Is this it?
It's not the most inappropriate one, or... The most appropriate
like,
one
for an inappropriate story. It was.
I'm
like,
not going to go through the full
gamut.
Thing.
I get that.
Yeah,
okay. I forgot we had them actually.
Yes.
So.
I've seen people out there that have bicycle tires that go flat, so they're walking their bike back for 6 miles. It's like,
see, when you were talking, this is my embarrassing moment now. When you were talking earlier, when you were saying auto tour, I was thinking auto is an automatic, like you just, this is it. And then I realized auto, you mean you drive it
vehicle.
Around. Yeah.
This is the caliber of people you're dealing with today, Bob.
Well, because I'm thinking I go out there, I walk, it's wilderness. I'm walking through it. So that's where my brain went. And I was
8 miles,
but I could walk it,
sure.
right?
You can walk the whole thing if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have walked all the days of their life. 8 miles isn't that long.
But it's probably not a good idea in midsummer because the mosquitoes can be horrific.
Oh, that,
so
yeah.
Marshland.
Do you get do that.
I imagine you see just as many snakes out there as else other places, or
there's
no?
There's rattlesnakes and garter snakes and that kind of
thing. Yeah.
Snakes like to swim.
We see rattlesnakes.
I
mean, prayer rattlesnakes, and they're pretty mellow. You got to really
get them.
Do something dumb to get bit. And we got bull snakes, and so they're out there.
What is the most frequent question you get asked out at the refuge?
The most frequent question.
Does auto tour mean automobile?
Nope, that's a new one.
Oh, God, I can't.
Can I come at night? Can I take a bird home?
Ooh,
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. The people like to collect stuff.
Okay.
The only thing you can take off a refuge without a permit is a picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
About a month ago, it was a Friday afternoon, and we were looking out the window with a spotting scope, and we see this car back up. It's a truck with a topper on the back, and lady backs way up on one of the approaches where she shouldn't be, and I'm watching. She gets out, opens the back of the truck, and starts loading rocks in the back of the truck.
Oh, my gosh.
So I go out there, and this poor woman was handicapped. She's got a cane. She's got a pit bull that was ready to kill me. Is sitting in the car.
So it's an odd visual.
Yeah, it's and she's loading these big rocks. I said, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, my driveway's muddy and I need some rocks." And I said, "Well,
can't take
you
those.
Can't take anything but a picture. You got to put them back."
There's so many other places
so
for that.
So she goes and she puts them back, and then she drives by me, and she's got her little ciggy butt, and she waves, and the dog trying to jump out the window, and off she goes.
How bizarre.
I'm going to tell you, my grandmother stole rocks from Glacier National Park.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say this would be my grandmother, but she's passed, so it was not my grandma. But
Well, I was doing a detail in Yellowstone once at one of the little contact stations, and they have native prairie plants with signs on them in front of this. And this woman comes up with a big white bucket and starts digging up the plants, putting them in her bucket. With the signs.
What?
Well, that's how she knows she was getting what she wanted.
What?
It's like, man, you can't do that. And then she got pretty ticked off that we stopped her from taking the plants. She thought that was perfectly okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not. People. You have to leave everything where it's at, people.
You run. We did a detail at Mount Rushmore once, one July 4th, and it was super dry. And these people are coming in there smoking cigarettes and flinging them.
Oh,
and then
they
get pissed off when you tell them you can't do that.
Oh, no.
And if you've never been to Mount Rushmore and you could go on the 4th of July to see the fireworks display, I'm not sure they're doing it anymore because of the political ramifications, but that is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
I bet that would be neat.
They shoot them from the top where the heads are, but they do it on the night of the 3rd, not the 4th.
Oh, okay.
So people show up on the 4th and you got to tell them, well, it was yesterday.
You missed it.
It was absolutely incredible. Really something.
There you go.
Super thing to see.
You know what else is great on 4th of July? The Hootenanny.
The Hootenanny.
Right.
Hootenanny.
Downtown Great Falls. And then we shoot off our fireworks over the river.
Yes.
So that even if it is dry.
And Voyager Stadium.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mentioned earlier, you know, some people think like Yellowstone National Park is a zoo. You see reviews that people leave for Yellowstone, that's like, why didn't they let the animals out? Like, why, you know, I didn't get to see a bison, which I don't know how you miss bison there. But anyway, but they leave reviews of like thinking that it's a controlled zoo environment. Do you get any comments like that of like, why didn't they make the birds fly or something
we'll
like that?
We'll get comments. Somebody was looking for a certain bird and couldn't find it.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's just the luck of the draw.
Right.
They're here, but you may not see them.
Yeah.
So just come back again. And I've had people they get a life bird. Some of the bird people that keep their life list, and they go absolutely nuts how great it was. You know, it's like, I don't have one of those lists. It's whatever. And then we have a stamp. You can, people can get a little book of all the refuges, and they go around getting stamps. And it's like, I had people call me and want me to put them on a page and send it to them, and it's like,
no, you gotta
really
show
committed
up here.
No,
well, I didn't do that way. It's like, geez,
no, they do that like the interpretive center too, or something. There's certain like pass punch things, stamps,
and like bird list, life list. I don't have one of those. It's like, you know, really.
Pretty low-key out at Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge.
Some of these people that fly to the Arctic to see some rare bird and step on it and kill it. You know, it's like just in there, I got to see this thing. Yeah. It's like...
You're not that committed to
the
birds.
No, I'm not. If I see it, that's great. If not, oh, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it goes.
Is there the outside of the grouse house time, the time coming up, is there a best time to go or like a time when it's not so busy out there?
Oh.
I mean, really, any time of year you can go and see something is what I'm
never,
getting at,
it's never
right?
that busy.
Okay.
There's some people, there's a guy in town, a retired veterinarian, who sometimes in the summer he'll be out there 60 days in a row in the morning taking pictures. I mean, I don't know how many pictures you can take. He's got one of those camera lenses that look like a side of a, you know, barrel of a howitzer. Uh-huh. And he's out there every single day. It's like, but. You know, it's never really that crowded.
Yeah.
So it's not like Yellowstone, we got to wait 2 hours to get in, or Glacier, we got to reserve a spot. It's not like that.
Just show up.
Yeah.
Sunrise to sunset.
Yes. And also in terms of the birds, though, like outside of the lek time and stuff, you'll always be able to see wildlife any time of year.
Yeah.
It's just more active here in the next couple months.
In the winter... There's not much out there.
Yeah.
You'd be hard pressed
to
see.
It is open though. You can go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll see deer. You might see a snowy owl, rough legged hawks, winter here, and we see them, but boy, there's not a lot else. It's just pretty scarce.
Yeah.
But it's starting to crank up now.
Woohoo. So folks, if you're into birds or solitude or auto tours that you would take in your vehicle
or walk.
Or circle in a bike. This is a really great place. The landscape is very different than what you'd see anywhere else in the state of Montana, which I always think is an important thing. Like there's so much diversity in our landscape. This is just one of those places that you can enjoy. It is fantastic for photography. We have a few pictures from Benton Lake up on our wall. And I just think it's a really great reason to come out here, especially if you're going to do freeze out and watch the whole migration thing that happens out there. You can come over and watch the mating that happens with the sharp tail.
The sharp tailing.
Yeah. You can.
There you go.
Thank you.
You can take a picture of it and say you Lewis and Clarked it. No, don't do me. And if you ever need help with getting the grouse house reserved or knowing anything more about Benton Lake Wildlife Refuge, Bob's your guy. But there might be other people out there he'll make you talk to as well. So
yeah, if you meet our law enforcement guy, he's a good guy.
There you go.
There you go. Just I'm looking forward to running him later.
He'll sit and talk to you for as long as you want about birds or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're a good dude, he's right there. Yeah. Just don't cross
just
him.
Not at night. Yeah.
I hope my first meeting with him is one for the books.
he's a really good guy.
Nice.
And so, folks, this is just one more reason to come experience all there is to experience in the greater Great Falls area. And until we see your bright, smiling, happy, healthy, beautiful faces here in our fine, fine city, we hope you are creating amazing memories with your friends and family wherever you might be. We'll see you soon.
We're No Dam Experts is the recorded claims from Great Falls, Montana, covering what you need to know about this amazing dam town. Damn, that felt good.